Trigger warning, Death and Friends is not a podcast for the light of heart. Many dark and serious subjects will come up. Listener discretion is advised.
Is Angel here? Has anybody seen Angel? Oh, okay. Jake, have you seen Angel yet?
Yeah, he just walked into his office, I think.
Great, thank you. Angel, hi.
Oh, hey, Melody, what's up?
Hi, I just looked at the episode schedule list, and...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's Nash's week.
God, who's answering these emails? Wait, what? I'm sorry, what?
It's Nash's week.
Yeah, I know. And?
Angel.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is about babies.
Okay, I'm gonna put my phone away. Listen, this is starting to feel like maybe a conversation you should have with Nash. And that's like
No. God, no. Ew. Look, Nash is daddy material, but not like father material. No.
Okay, well, I hated that. So what now? Well, I mean, what's
Angel,
the...
she's gonna write a cold open.
Right.
For an episode.
Correct.
On babies.
And?
And how babies are born? How many times have Nash's cold opens ended in lawsuits or arson charges or whatever actually happened in the basement?
Son of a bitch, you're right.
I know.
Okay, all right. It's fine. Have you seen her?
No, not in like 4 days.
Hang on. She skipped your Tuesdays.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Darn, you f***ing f***ing piece of
what do we do?
I don't know. God damn it. She's not picking up.
I mean, she wouldn't pick up anyway.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Shit. Okay. What do we do? Do we get some pigeons? Like, what should we?
Ooh, what's the Scooby Gang got going on in here?
Nash!
Melody?
Hey, bud. The fuck you been, huh?
Doing research like always.
Right. But, babies?
What about them?
We were just a little bit worried about what you might do for research for the cold open.
Okay. Well, I haven't written it yet.
Oh, thank God.
Just on my way to do that.
Wow, those sound... close.
Yep, and coming our direction. Damn, I hope everything is okay. Nash? What did you do?
What makes you think?
What did you do?
gotta go. No reason.
So, Melody, you should probably...
Yeah. I'll call Jen.
All right. Here we go. Death comes for us all.
Welcome back, Skeleton Army. I'm Angel, and coming to us via Zoom from the same federal prison as the Tiger King is Nash.
Honestly, I'm never going to financially recover from this.
Yeah, neither will we, bud. So, how about you paint the picture, will you? Before your call time's up?
Yeah, okay, happily. So today we're talking about the miracle of childbirth.
Jesus Christ, Nash.
For once, I'm kidding, because, like, look, we can't talk about the entire history of childbirth, because that would be a lot, and also, I already have tummy issues, and childbirth is just, like, a little bit icky.
Don't you have kids?
Do?
Pretty sure you do, but I'm, like, 90% sure you do.
It's probably fine. Whatever.
Who is this alabaster child, and why is he following me?
Father?
Papa?
It's probably fine. Anyway, today we're focusing on how the sausage gets made, or rather how it gets delivered.
No!
Because wouldn't you guys know, after centuries, eons even, of this being sort of women's side of the street, in the 18th century, men get involved.
They don't just get involved, do they, Nasha? They infiltrate it.
Yeah, white guy, three names all over the map, kick down the door, tell women they're stupid, and then deliver a baby with unwashed hands and shake their heads sadly when the mortality rate of babies starts to look like it needs a ski lift to get to the top of it.
Is this the whole episode?
It could be, probably, but I don't think Jake would pay us for that.
Jake pays us?
So let's meet local Maine midwife Martha Ballard. Martha, say hi to everyone. Oh, you're dead, right.
Jesus.
Okay, metaphysically meet local Maine midwife Martha Ballard.
Martha is born in 1735 in Massachusetts to Elijah Moore and Dorothy Learned Moore.
White lady three names is mothering.
We don't know a lot about her childhood or even her early adulthood or anything until she starts keeping a diary at the age of 50.
A reminder that you can achieve your dreams at any age.
Of keeping a diary?
Sure. Or of being an actor like Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Or of inventing chiropractic medicine like Daniel David Palmer. Or whatever you're into.
Cool. Now, Martha had family members.
Male family members.
Who were in the medical field. But in the 18th century, women aren't allowed to practice medicine. Officially.
Officially being a word that's doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence, because also women's bodies are totally gross and babies are gross, and this whole thing is just icky and a waste.
It's yucky.
Of men's precious big brain time and energy. So men leave ladies to their whole childbirth business, as they have for basically all of human history to this point.
Martha, dear Martha, never talks about her education in her diary, so presumably she gained most of her experience in delivering babies while, get this, delivering babies.
Wow. Which is not as comforting in modern times as it was back then, but like, hey, whatever, the miracle of life or something.
Martha is super important for understanding this history because in terms of, quote, history, like major narrative, white guy history, she is no one.
Aww.
But she keeps this super detailed diary for 27 years, recording the town's birth and deaths and a bunch of other information surrounding women's daily life.
Martha is largely a midwife. But because she's a woman...
A woman!
She's also a bunch of other things. A pharmacist, a healer, a physician sometimes, a mortician, and a mother herself. She's also at trial, like, a lot, testifying on paternity and rape cases.
It's rough. She's also a historian. Maybe by accident?
Yeah. It happens to a lot of us by accident.
That is very true. I mean, look at us. Look at us. Who would have thought?
Please help us.
But because her diary is so dense that it gives us a real look at women's history in a kind of one of the only times in the 18th century. Like literally the only time.
Yeah.
Like this is all we have.
This is the only record at all from that time period.
Yeah, women didn't exist before this.
The real chicken or the egg type situation, but we solved
it. Yeah, exactly. We did. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. We do the work on this podcast. Because if you look at regular old history, women kind of don't exist. Or if they do, it's just because they were married to a man.
A man?
A man. For example, Martha's husband was a map guy.
A map guy?
Yeah.
You mean a land surveyor?
It's the same thing. And he's all over the records of that period because he drew lots of pictures of things.
He drew maps of property, Nash.
That's what I said.
I don't think it is.
Anyway, Martha's on the frontier in Maine, and we're in the post-American Revolutionary landscape. Now, there's a lot of anxiety for what that all means, and also who even owns the land of this frontier.
Not them. Not fucking them.
No, well...
Not even a little bit.
No, but... Anyway, that's a longer story that we'll cover next season. For now, Martha sees her town through over 800 births.
800?
And she's present at nearly 1,000 births.
1,000?
And even though midwifery is the best female paid occupation for the day, she's not without her money troubles. In fact, her husband ended up going to debtor's prison for a while. But this isn't his story. This is Martha's story.
Yeah, fuck that piece of shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Martha isn't the only one in town with delivering babies power. That's a real sentence that Nash wrote.
Yeah, delivering babies power. You don't have that?
Yeah, exactly. No.
Oh, that's sad for you.
I mean, in a bind, I guess.
We can all deliver babies in a bind, okay? You're not special.
Oh, what's up? Okay, all right. Martha isn't the only one in town with delivering babies power, though. And this is where the fun begins.
Is that foreshadowing music?
Dr. Benjamin Page shows up in Hollowell, and he's weirdly desperate to be the primary guy for baby delivery. Even though in the past, doctors used to only go to those things when, like, complications arose. So it's a little weird.
I swear, that's the foreshadowing music.
Okay, so you hear it too?
Yeah. Anyway, our boy Ben shows up at Hollowell in 1791, and immediately Martha's like, no. Her diary, which is actually usually pretty devoid of emotion, starts to include fun bits like the operation performed by Ben Page. The infant's limbs were much dislocated, as I am informed.
Okay. And in another instance, the first time mother's in active labor and asks for the doctor to be called, and when Dr. Page shows up, he just gives the laboring mother 20 drops of laudanum.
Because men just love giving drugs to women in childbirth. Just
sprinkled laudanum on her and just left. And Martha is pretty annoyed with it, because it tends to stop active labor and slows the contractions down. I mean, she actually says, it put her in such a stupor that the pains, which were regular and promising, stopped until near night.
Which is so to the point that it basically still feels like she slapped him 200 years later. It's just incredible shit. And then Dr. Page gets bored or whatever, just has man things to do. He leaves, and the meds wear off, and Martha delivers the baby, because, yeah.
That's Martha shit.
That's Martha shit.
And just like the other 800 babies she delivers, NBD, no big deal.
Yep.
Ain't no thing. She keeps that motherfucking thing on her, son. Do we mention she delivered over 800 babies, by the way? 800.
Pretty sure we did, but let's all take a moment, just like a quick minute, and just picture what 800 babies looks like.
Actually, let's hear that right now, Dom.
Let's hear what 800 babies sound like being born at once.
No! No. Okay. Moving on. Now, Martha's diary gives us a real good look at what frontier life is for women in the 18th century, especially for midwifery and other women's health, and epidemics, and domestic violence, and editor's prison, which is a real thing.
Neat. Thanks for everything, Martha. You're a real one.
Seriously, if you ever get a chance, you can read her diary in Laurel Thatcher's Ulrich books, A Midwife's Tale.
And you should. Do it now.
Yeah, go.
We can wait.
Actually, no. And for the last time, Nash, it's an audio podcast. They can just pause it.
Oh. Right.
Neat.
Midwives didn't just pop up in 18th century frontier America. In fact, midwifery is one of the oldest professions in the world, with records of it being practiced as far back as 40,000 years ago in the Paleolithic era.
40,000 years ago.
40.
That is 20,000 years younger than Nash is.
Yes, that's correct.
Just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
That's a long
time. I've been around the block a couple times, you know.
It stays in women's circles. That's so gross. Okay. It stays in women's circles throughout Stone Age indigenous history as spiritual and medical practices, and right into the ancient world, where Egypt, Greece, and Rome start treating it more like a paid profession rather than a more spiritual practice.
In other parts of the ancient world, like China, for example, midwives are local, a bit like our gal Martha, although not really with the same status.
They tend to be illiterate and on the lower end of societal hierarchy, which isn't that uncommon for women in the history of the world, and it's pretty the same throughout Asia. Midwives before the 20th century also tend to be widows and or mothers themselves, which just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, a real write what you know kind of situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In Africa, midwives and other kinds of healers are the standard for centuries until slavery comes around, and it's still the same, but there's now white colonizers that are enslaving some of the midwives and taking them to the colonies to be slaves over there, and then also still do the midwife work and train other midwives so that white men can have more slaves, because, you know, capitalism.
Yep. Delightfully, and I mean that not at all. For most of even somewhat recent history, black women's healthcare, particularly childbirth, was handled pretty much by black women.
We're on this nightmare later because, yeah.
Yep. In the Middle Ages, women are still at the helm of childbirth and women's medicine, largely because doctors, with a capital D, are focused on reading the great historical texts of medicine, like Galen and Aristotle, and those guys didn't write much on women's gross bodies because they're gross. And there's a pretty prominent belief that it's bad luck for men to be mucking about with female genitalia during childbirth, which sounds like a very fake thing that men made up.
And because this is the Middle Ages and women are either giving birth or being witches,
or both,
¿por qué no los dos? Men leave childbirth alone unless they burn a midwife for being a witch or for just having a vibe they really don't like. And that's pretty much their only interaction besides, well, the first thing. So
women at the time, just like most of the other times, as mentioned, are largely illiterate, so childbirth is one of those, like, oral, on-the-ground internships.
By the late Middle Ages, through a few books on the subject, start to pepper the otherwise male-dominated library. So we get the first evidence that movement is coming to legitimize women's health. Maybe.
In the 16th century in Europe, the midwives are continuing to be on the up and up as a female profession, with the church even going so far as to provide a license to some midwives, provided that they could prove that they didn't practice witchcraft and they could do the whole baptism thing.
Imagine taking that licensure test seriously. Are you a witch? No. Well, can you put the baby in the water? Okay, you passed. Okay.
What a test. Midwives at the time, regardless of their licensure status, are still getting most of their intel from apprenticeship rather than through formal education. In fact, it's pretty important to remember that for the West, women couldn't even be doctors until Elizabeth Blackwell in 1849 in the States, and Elizabeth Garrett Anderson in 1865 in England just did the damn thing.
Because, hear me out on this. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Men.
Exactly, because men. Now, on to the 17th century.
Wait, hang on. Did you hear that?
What?
Crap baskets. Racism.
Yay.
Hey, buddy. Great to see you. Finally felt like maybe you'd forgotten how to find the studio, but here you are.
Love the new hair. Looks great. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So good. Mm-hmm. Great.
What's that like, having that part right there?
Let's talk about why you're here, which is, as always, unfortunate. It makes it difficult for me to sleep at night. In fact, let's just warn you all right now that what follows is not going to be fun. It is important, but it is not fun.
Enter white guy three names, Dr. James Marion Sims, or as we know him today, the father of gynecology.
Because when I think about the history of women's health, I am always like, but what man can we thank for this?
Dr. Sims is also credited with the invention of the speculum.
For people with vaginas everywhere, I'd like to say to Dr. Sims, get fucked.
Oh, and to make things even better, he didn't really believe in anesthesia, so that's a thing.
Yay.
At least he didn't at the beginning of his career, when he was doing the inventing part of gynecology, you know. So he would later become a sort of expert in it, but that's not super important right at this second.
I know you're thinking, okay, guys, I mean, speculums suck and so do men, but he sounds like pretty okay so far. And to that I say, please, racism doesn't get out of bed for just anything these days.
He's been insanely popular since liberal white women discovered he existed in 2020.
Nice.
Now, Sims' primary work is in vaginal fistulas. He even creates a surgery to fix said fistulas, which up to that point didn't really exist. Unfortunately, despite that sounding like a nice thing to do, Sims didn't perfect his surgery on cadavers. Or medical study participants, or even willing, consenting white people, or consenting people in general.
Because this is 1845, and why do any of those things when you can just find enslaved black girls and women who have fistulas from little routine access to healthcare during childbirth?
Oh look, racism is frothing at the mouth again. That's fun.
Ugh,
that's good.
Gross.
Okay. All right. We don't see all that.
Yeah.
Sit down!
And just to be fair, I guess?
No.
To Sims? This practice wasn't super revolutionary. White male doctors used slaves all the time in the South before the Civil War for medical practice. South Carolina Medical College even advertises the use of enslaved people as like a selling feature and asks local owners to send over any, quote, interesting, end quote, cases for free medical care so that students could learn. That's also kind of maybe in quotes.
Yeah, I don't think we need to be fair to him.
I mean, all of it is vile, and it gets worse the more you know about it, but Sims isn't alone in the shitlord territory. That's all I'm saying.
Leave it to white men to also colonize being a shitlord.
I mean, it's got lord right in the title. Why wouldn't they? Power grab.
So Sims opens up a shop as a, quote, plantation physician. And in the years between 1845 and 1849, he operates on at least 14 enslaved black women for fistulas.
Without anesthesia.
One woman, Anarcha Westcott, had 29 unsuccessful surgeries.
Without anesthesia.
Before her final and his first successful surgery.
Even though he knew about anesthesia, it having come into use in 1846, he didn't actually use it until he starts taking a show on the road in New York City and in Europe, where he mostly operates on rich white ladies using anesthesia. So, yay.
Sims does some other stuff in his career, even establishing the first women's hospital in New York, which often took poor immigrant patients unable to pay for medical care. Though he also did the surgeries in an open theater sometimes against the patient's will.
Yay.
He also gets pretty good at a surgery to remove ovaries, which were obviously the cause of a lot of female lady woman hysteria. So.
Mm. And probably unsurprisingly, Sims is a pretty big advocate of slavery and is upset about the South's loss in the Civil War, saying that it was a, quote, dreadful mistake, end quote, to free enslaved people. So, the father of gynecology, everybody. Yay!
Ay, ay, ay.
Just like Sims, other white dudes are getting in on the maternity action. But in order to do that, they have to make women believe that they inherently need men to do this.
Delightfully, the rebranding of women in the mid-19th century is best distilled into this very real, quote, because we wouldn't make it up, by a male physician, which is, and this is true, reads, quote, a woman has a head almost too small for intellect, but just big enough for love, end quote.
Wow, good job reading all that, Nash. Those were a lot of big words.
I will kill you and use your body parts to terrorize your family, and then when you're only bones, I will cast your remains into the far corners of the globe so you will never find peace.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that is now legally binding.
Why?
Jake did some real intense contract work at the beginning of the show.
That's why I'm a ghost that still has a job. That doesn't pay well, may I add.
Is Jake the real villain here?
Pretty sure it's you.
Who's to say?
Anyway, stepping back just a wee bit, taking it back now, y'all.
Yeah.
Let's meet this other white guy, William Shippen, 1762. He teaches the first courses in male midwifery, something that, by the way, no one asked for.
Nope.
Literally no one. So he goes full Tom Haverford on it and rebrands it as obstetrics. And here's where things go from pretty fucking terrible to, get this,
yep,
still pretty fucking terrible.
Wow. Male doctors have to try to continue to keep women out of the midwife game. Women can't be doctors, per se, but somehow they can still continue to dare to be involved in women's issues. Just horrifying.
How dare they? What are they, a piece of shit?
Indeed. So, men just simply try harder. Take white guy 3 names / obstetrician Joseph B. DeLee, who accuses midwives of delaying the advances of obstetrics, insisting,
as long as the medical profession tolerates this brand of infamy, the midwife, the public, will not be brought to realize that there's a high art in obstetrics. It must pay as well for it as for surgery. Hoo-ah!
Cool, buddy. Thanks. I'm sure you definitely don't have some kind of monetary ulterior motive for saying this.
Rich bastards.
Now it's 1910, and if we didn't hate women enough already, here's white guy 3 names Dr. James Lincoln Huntington, standing in front of his colleagues at the Boston meeting
of course
of the Obstetrical Society, being like, men are very, very good at this, and denouncing midwifery as, quote, evil and ignorant, and basically equating it to witchcraft somehow.
And Dr. 3 names isn't alone or even an outlier in that opinion.
He basically stands up there and yells, the earth is flat, at a meeting of the Flat Earth Society.
Yeah, and girls say my pee-pee is small, but it's normal. It basically becomes the goal of male obstetrics to continue to isolate and push women out of medicine entirely because of the invention and growing numbers of the leisure class and due to racism.
Yeah.
White women are the first to jump on the bandwagon, and the white men get to scare them further by the simple fact that the leftover midwives are not white. So.
Also in 1910, the Flexner Report comes out.
Abraham Flexner is just a guy with some education degree who gets hired to be part of the Carnegie Foundation, by the way.
We definitely don't need to worry about this report being sponsored, by the way. It's fine. We're fine.
It's fine. It's fine. One more time and I'll believe you. Anyway, Flexner goes in and starts examining the medical education in America in order to provide some standardization of said medical education.
Which sounds good.
Especially because of the men that are involved.
Mm. The report is largely critical of medical schools, so that's probably correct. But the argument for standardization of medical practices basically gets interpreted as midwives need not apply, since women can't practice medicine legally or go to medical school. It's a pretty sexist and racist report, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. It also forces the closure of all but two African-American medical schools, in addition to being racist in other directions.
Truly, when has a report ever done so much as the Flexner Report?
So finally, women are mostly out of the sphere of medicine, even women's medicine.
Because our poor heads are so small.
Okay, I mean...
A little bitty baby girl head has no brain.
Okay.
We can only love with small girl brain.
You know, I didn't write this report, right? Like, it wasn't me.
Nash continues to be suspicious that Angel might be a time traveler. What?
Who are you?
I'm the narrator.
The what?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, we don't really need a narrator, so...
Please. I have a family.
So if you're wondering what the sudden mutiny of male-dominated childbirth might mean for mortality in the 19th century, it probably won't surprise you at all to learn that there's a coincidental increase of deaths, particularly due to puerperal fever.
So weird, the timing of that. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, women are just dying more from childbirth just as men are forcing midwives out of the field.
So
weird.
So strange.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Which is the fact that male obstetricians weaponize against midwives as the rates are increasing, which is even crazier. Just what a thing.
Crazy girl. Why is it that the only thing white men are good at is... Hang on, let me check my notes here. Hang on.
Okay. Keep looking.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Assigning blame to women and or minorities.
Oh, yay. And the development and use of forceps to deliver babies also lead to a bunch of complications. And men always didn't do so great at washing their damn hands.
That's funny. You're kind of saying that like it's a past tense thing. In the 20th century, men also bring in the quote, twilight sleep. Baby delivering process, because it's a lot easier to deliver babies when women aren't screaming all the goddamn time.
So inconvenient. It involves using morphine and some other drug called scopolamine to put women into basically a blackout state. Fortunately, it usually means, in just the way you'd expect, birth complications. It falls out of favor in the same century as other methods of pain relief that have way fewer risks to mom and baby get developed.
Some other takeaways from this deeply depressing episode is black women still
today
face enormous obstacles in getting access to medical care.
Today, in the year of our Lord, 2024.
Okay, if you're listening in the future, and you're like, oh, let's listen to the old episodes of, like, it's probably like 2026 and it's still a problem. To give you an idea of that, the black maternal mortality rate is 2.6 times higher than white women. 2.6 times higher. 2.6 times higher! Is that good?
Look, obviously there have been some good things about the increase in medical care and medical technology. That shit's been proven over and over again. It has and continues to save lives. But we owe it to black women, especially our girl Anarka, for those advances.
Black death, polio, spontaneous combustion. Dying comes and after death comes decomposition. It may seem sad and also gross, but here you are and here's your host. Not an actual doctor, but it's medical facts with Dr. Angel.
Here's how a child is born. First, that, nope, we're not doing that.
Oh my God. You guys should see your face right now. You thought.
I'm looking at you, stupid ass, dumbass little. Yeah. You thought we were going to talk about childbirth.
That would have been so awkward. Two people that don't know anything about it.
I've seen a vagina before.
And on that note, wait, whose baby is this? Okay, well, I guess we'll just put it over here for now.
Okay, yeah, just watch its head. You got it. Hello, guy.
Anyway, on that note, that's the episode. A special thanks to you, our favorite listener. Remember to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. A rate and review would also probably help us feed this baby that we might now have to care for. Or at least a paternity test.
Little cutie. Oh, sorry. My turn. You can also follow us on socials. I'm at Gorilla Jokes. Yes, I am. G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A Jokes. No.
And I'm at It's Nashlyn. It's peeing, I think. Or pooping. Or doing something.
You can also follow the podcast where we drop incredibly specific memes and unhitched selfies at Death and Friends Podcast. You got a little poop in your pants. Is there a diaper on here? Come on.
Oh, God. Would you like to live deliciously? Become a member of the Skeleton Army and join us on Patreon. We have exclusive and early release content there, like Beyond the Grave, which is only adults talking about adult things that don't involve this baby.
We were talking about, me and my friends, wrestling buddies, were talking about Eddie Guerrero and how much we loved Eddie. And it's like, sometimes we're like, oh, what would it be like if he was still around? And I often think, based on like his current family's politics and like lives, I'm like, I think we would have found out he kind of sucks.
Yeah, I can see that.
We would have found out he sucks, because a lot of people from El Paso tend to be very conservative. And so you're just like, ooh, maybe it's better that he died a hero.
For you to see him become a villain?
Yes. I mean, literally.
Actually, yes. Yeah.
And so, like, that's the, you know, do you want that for Kurt Cobain? Because, yeah. Like, here's the thing. Yes, Dave Grohl's alive, but he's, like, you know, pretty left-leaning, as left-leaning as you can go if you're a super rich guy. You know, at the end of the day, he cares about people and stuff. Or you can go the Chris Novoselic route, which is a conservative asshole.
Inside you, there are two wolves.
Inside you, there are two wolves, and they both suck. But at least one has a successful career and isn't mooching off Nirvana's success.
But more importantly, we use the funds to cover our sound guy's medical bills. In order to properly write medical facts, we expose Dom to all the illnesses and ways to die we talk about on the show.
Okay. All right. Baby's asleep now. We're fine. What do we do this week, Nash?
Well, we have this baby now, I guess.
Okay. That's fine. Sure. Hey, speaking of Patreon, it is time to honor a member at the Brendan Fraser level. Or it would be, normally, except this time we're going to do things a little bit differently. Given the news lately and the continued failure of the Western governments to do anything about the ongoing genocide in Palestine, today we'd like to honor a martyr. So praise be Aaron Bushel, and to everyone else in Gaza who have lost their lives and homes to the Israeli incursion.
And also praise be Brendan Fraser, just because.
Right.
So check it out at patreon.com/deathandfriends. For more information, visit deathandfriends.gay. That's .gay. Join us as we make the entire internet more gay, but also worse.
Hey, here's the thing. We talked about a lot of really messed up things today. And it led to a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. And we even honored somebody who did the same. And here's the thing. Death is super, super tricky to talk about. So, we want you to please remember that you are loved, you matter, and if you don't want to be your own friend, we will happily be your friend.
And we'll have a secret handshake with each and every one of you.
Until next time, Skeleton Army, stay spooky. Love you.
Love you. Do you want this baby? Do you want it? I'm not sure. Oh, I was talking to them. I figured that they might. One of them has to statistically want this baby.
You're waking it up. It's looking directly at you. It's making direct eye contact.
I wouldn't know. I can't look at it in the eyes.
Why does it have a forked tongue?
This has been a Knavery Inc. podcast. Go to knaveryinc.com for more details. Executive produced by Jacob Duffy Halbleib. Audio design by Dominic Guanzon. Themes and transitions by Amy Doe.
The fuck is a knave?
Welcome back, Skeleton Army. Ich bin Angel. I don't know why I started with that. Hang on.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Skeleton Army. I'm Angel. Coming to us via Zoom from the same federal prison as Tiger King is Dash.
Death?
Yeah. White guy, three names and all over the map. Nope. That's not what it says. Just read the sentence.
Namesies? Yeah. White Namesis. Guy, three namesies. Namesis?
Ramses the second.
Ramses no singing. Ramses no dancing.
Death?
So let's meet local Maine. Nope. That is what it said.
Local Maine.
Local Maine. God.
Local Maine.
This is why we try on it.
What's up, dog? This is Martha Ballard, fool. Martha, say hi to the homies out here, bro. Oh, fuck your dad, dude. Shit. Okay, sorry. All right, let's metaphysically meet local Maine midwife, Martha Ballard.
Okay.
Every time you mess up a line, I'm just going to roast you by doing the whole line in a dumb voice.
Not that.
All right, go ahead.
Death?
Until she starts keeping a diary at the age of 50, meaning, hey, you could always start over. Did you just lean back to exhale smoke?
No, I leaned back to burp into my throat. because it was gross. Okay. Well, I tried to save you, and then you noticed anyway.
You should have just lied.
Death?
So men leave ladies to their whole little childbirth business, as they have for basically all of human history to this point.
Childbirth?
Childbirth? Did I say childbirth?
You said childbirth.
One childbird, please.
One childbird, please. I wanted to roast it.
It's wing night at childbirds.
It's wing night at childbirds. We'll give you the same amount of wings in weight as your child. No heavy fat kids.
Not in America.
Death?
I honestly, this is where the fun begins, is an infamous Star Wars line.
Is it?
So, yeah. So the foreshadowing music should be like Anakin's, like, Darth Vader theme or something.
I have the higher ground.
I have the higher ground.
Sorry.
Jesus.
I said I was
General
sorry.
General Kenobi. He's a thank guy. Who's a dum-dum? All right, moving on.
Death?
It stays in women's circles throughout Stone Age indigenous history as spiritual and medical practices, spelled with an S.
Yes, I'm so happy you point this out every single time.
I hate it so much. And right into the ancient world, where Egypt, Greece, and Rome start treating it like a paid profession rather than more of a spiritual practice, also spelled with an S. Why do you hate me?
You know why.
Death?
So we get the first evidence of the...
No, not in this episode.
No, not this episode.
Death?
It involves using morphine and some other drug called scopolamine. Nope.
Called scopolamine. Anthony scopolamine.
Death?
Beeped out cussing. Beep, boop, beep. All right, this is what you're actually bleeping. You darn tootin' harlot. You heckin' friggin'.
Dang.
Piece of cheese.
Death?
Oh, what in the Scooby-Doo gang got going on here? Why did I say that like it was from Texas?
Yeah, well, what's the Scooby-Doo the gang got going? I've been watching Yellowstone, and so now I speak like this.